So like I mentioned this morning, huh? Today is the fifth day of the retreat. Huh? We are moving into the second session, huh? Which is more stringent, and the focus is more on the meditation, the training, and the ability to maintain continuous cultivation, mainly the silent mind, together with the noble silence. Then your daily mindfulness, you have to really establish it. Then the focus will be more towards cultivation, meditation. So Dhamma, we will still continue. Q&A, we will still continue. But the program has been adjusted. So from 9 to 10:30, we're supposed to have some formal seating. But I think 1.5 hours may be a bit long for most people. So what you can do is, I will use 30 minutes for Dhamma sharing first. Then after that, for 1 hour, you determine to develop the formal meditation together with your mindfulness training. Then if you need to silence, you just silence. For those who still need to develop their daily mindfulness until it's very stable, you can do your walking, bowing, reflection, contemplation, then lie down or whatever, so that this continuity of mindfulness can be developed. Always remember, everything you do, maintain awareness, attentiveness within. I will continue from Heart Sutta. After it's about 9:30, then you start your meditation. Okay, page 66. So this one is to emphasize on daily mindfulness. 1.1. Daily mindfulness is very important to enable one to realize the real Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Without this daily mindfulness, we are an awareness of all action and all movements, feelings, content of consciousness and Dhamma that arise and pass away from moment to moment within the present moment. The real wisdom cannot arise. When there is no real wisdom, one will be conditioned by one's delusion. Whereas wisdom leads to joy, peace, love, compassion, and harmony, means you are at ease. How you interpret or perceive a life situation or phenomena at every moment of sense experience is very important. When you have wisdom, life itself is your teacher. The enlightened one will perceive all things with wholesomeness only. Develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations and learn to accept the reality of the moment so that one does not have to react to or worry about life, but instead always act with wisdom following Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all of life's situations amicably. The key word is amicably. So that you don't commit any karmic negativity. Then the fourth right effort is a revision. First right effort is to abandon the unwholesome action, speech and thought that has arisen. This one is still thought based, but it is a good practice when you are training your Noble Eightfold Path of right thought, right speech and right action. Then you use the five ways to overcome them. The first two are thought-based. The first one is still using thought to think of the opposite wholesome thought. So like I explained last time, when there is anger, think of metta, love. When you have love, you cannot get angry. When there is cruelty in you to harm or to cause suffering, and misery, or to kill and to destroy life, you must have the opposite, compassion. When you are compassionate, you can't do. Then like last night when you were having the discussion after the class down there, somebody brought out a condition for me to share. You see, your heart, basically, before delusion come in, it is the true mind. And the true mind has got no delusion. The true mind is just the way it is. But this true mind on its own is incapable of negativity. So a lot of people, well, they use this word conscience. You know what is your conscience, isn't it? Your conscience is the wholesome one, the one that understands. That's why it can never kill, it can never harm, you can never deceive. It's against your conscience to do. Your conscience knows these are not right things. So that conscience protects you. But human beings' problem is you go to your brain, you go to your head. So my teacher, one of my teachers, he said, when you are at your brain, your head, you are in hell. Do you understand what he said? Hell, because you are acting according to memory, which are all the rubbish before you become enlightened. Your accumulated conditioning, your views, your opinion, your selfishness, your fear, your phobia, your unhappiness, your deep resentment, insecurity, everything is there. So if you act with that, you are not acting at all, because you don't use wisdom, you don't use Dhamma, you don't use right view. So we should stay at the heart. But it's very difficult for you to stay at the heart, because you have been trained, not to say trained, since young, when you grew up until now, you have been using this brain, this thought, for your education, for your study, for whatever. So all the time you are actively thinking, using thought as an instrument, using your brain, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, all these things. So when you are doing this, you commit a lot of karmic negativity, you are like in hell. And because you don't really know how to meditate, you don't know how to connect to your true mind, you don't know how to stay at your heart, then one thing you should realize is your senses are all also in your head. That's why it interacts with the brain very fast. So you use the thought very often. This is for you to use to learn things, mechanical things, but not to include all the psychological negativity of thought and emotion. So this is where people go wrong. That's why when you meditate, when you are heedful, aware, you are at the heart area. You are with your conscience. So your problem is, every time you want to do something, your conscience says cannot. Then you know what happens? Your thought take over. The thought will come and tell you, hey, why are you scared? Everybody also do that. And then, because of greed, because of delusion, you follow your thought. That's why you dare to do things that are against your conscience. So the conscience is the one that protects you. Then when you cultivate your heart, your nature will alert you. Things that can do, cannot do. Then it can internally talk to you. Let you understand. That's how you can learn a lot of things. That's how I came to know, when I take care of mind take care of me. That is the meaning. Because that true mind, the awareness, that has the conscience, it knows these are things that you cannot do. So every time you got problem, you go and use your thought. Your thought will give you the wrong instruction. That's why I say you feel when you want to buy something or act in certain direction, you feel. If you feel good, go ahead, follow your heart. But people's problem is they follow their emotion. You have to be careful. Emotion is not your heart. You know what is emotional? The emotion, the feeling body, is just next to your gateway. That's why it's very near. So you are not a meditator, you are not a cultivator, you are not sensitive. You confuse emotion with the conscience. That's why you heard a lot of Chinese people say, follow your heart, understand? But when you follow your heart, you must have mindfulness, awareness, the conscience. You don't have to follow your emotion, understand? Your emotion will kill you, will drive you crazy. So these are all the meditative understanding that you will develop. The emotion part is in the center there, whereas the gateway is at the side. towards the left a bit. So when you are at the gateway, you are at the nature, the true mind, the conscience there. Whereas the emotion is when you have fear, when you get angry, what? That's why your heart here, the heartbeat, boom, 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 very fast. Then it releases the adrenaline and all things. So if you are mindful, you are sensitive, you will know. You are not peaceful already. You have stirred your mind. Emotion has come already. So meditation is what? Silent and feel it. Then see what happens. Then you realize you don't do anything. The anger, the fear, the emotions cease to be. Whereas the conscience got nothing on. It's just silent, still. Just aware. Very calm, very peaceful. So this is how you differentiate them. But you have to have the mindfulness, the awareness, the ability to meditate. Otherwise, you cannot. So this is one part that you have to learn. You have to develop the understanding. Nobody can teach you. Whatever is being taught or shared is the understanding from that being. Then if you don't go and cultivate and develop the same understanding, you listen, you copy, it becomes knowledge. You won't learn. You don't benefit. Okay, I will read on. So the first right effort already explained. Then after you have the understanding, you are able to abandon them through all the five ways, especially the third way, which is meditative, just aware, don't do anything. That's what I do a lot. Then later on, when I want to trace the origination factor, I go to the fourth way. I develop mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. Then I saw how the sense data come in. Then how the mind get entangled when it come into contact. Then at the moment of consciousness, because you lack wisdom, then I saw how the mind stir and create all this negativity of emotion, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Then I realize this is how I get into trouble. Then the moment it stirs, this emotion arise, suffering arise. So I reflected, I contemplated, and I tell myself, how am I to act the next time when I face the same situation? That's how I came out with all those straightening of the view. The wisdom that I developed through my own meditation, through my own understanding, and through hearing my teacher, the advice. Just like Ajahn Yantra, we choose accept everything as natural. I am already at peace. Then like the Buddha, see things as they are. Then I realize, if I want to see things that as they are, I have to accept the reality. Then I remember what the Buddha say, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. So things cannot be otherwise. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha had taught, means the right view, the law of karma, the Four Noble Truths, the dependent origination. Then I realized, yeah, very true. People are just the way they are. Your condition like that, things will be like that. The world is the world. Condition like that, existence, reality will be like that. Then I realized, this is peace. When I am at peace, my mind does not stir. And this is right view. This is how it can help you to overcome delusion. After you straighten your view, you realize you are always at peace. Because you understand it cannot be otherwise. It has to be this way. And then after that, I act. Act with what? Wisdom, not with memory. Not with my views and opinion. I already know the right view, the right understanding. So when I act with that, I act according to karma, according to how I understand the mind, according to Four Noble Truths. That's why I won't go wrong. This nature understands. This is how you meditate. So when you have all this understanding, then the right effort to abandon and prevent it from arising become possible. The moment you see, you understand, the normal mind will stir. Then you know this is wrong, you have right view. So you can prevent it from arising. All this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Inside, your conscience will alert you. You will be aware. Then after that, the third and fourth right effort become very easy. You reflect and contemplate. What are right thoughts? What are right speech? What are right action? How am I to live life in accordance, right living? Then you realize, hey, everything falls into place. Because right means no negativity. So I need to be mindful. I need to be heedful. I need to be aware. I need to know what are the three evil roots, the essential dhamma. So I do all this. Once I do all this, I can have the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action that I understood that are still not in me. And then it arises. After it arises, the last right effort is to refine upon it, to perfect it. So I just do. Then the Noble Eightfold Path of right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood comes into being. Then the four right effort you cultivated, you are only left with right mindfulness and samadhi, which is the meditative part. And then meditation become very easy, cultivation become very easy. This is how you should develop the understanding and cultivate. Okay, can follow? Only a few say yes. The rest all blur. Like that better. Otherwise, until today still blur. Repeat how many times already. Make it a point to understand, understand not. Then we move on. Part two. There are three types of suffering. This one is good for your understanding. You can understand, it will help you. The first type of suffering the Buddha mentioned in the teaching, he called it dukkha dukkata. And this is the two words you know, that dukkha dukkata. Both also got dukkha there. So what is the meaning? Suffering within suffering. This is the real suffering. So suffering within suffering in its most obvious ordinary form, which the Buddha called dukkha, dukkata, is suffering within the physical, your physical form. So this physical form, you have to go through birth. That's why birth is suffering. When you get old, get sick, and about to die, there's a lot of sorrow, a lot of suffering and affliction that follow if you do not have the wisdom. So these are real suffering. So people who suffer without knowing that they are suffering, they experience dukkha dukkata. Understand not? Means not only their body become afflicted. The body say, you allow your mind to be afflicted too. So when body is sick, the Buddha always say, do not allow your mind also to be sick. Understand not? But this is a reality. Accept it. That's why daily contemplation, the first three ask you to contemplate. This body, make of element only, not you, go the way of nature. That's why it's of the nature to get old, get sick, and finally die. Wherever there is birth, old age, sickness, and death will follow. This is the reality. So if you have reflected, contemplated, then you know it's not you. You can be at peace with it. You got no problem. Otherwise, you will suffer. Suffer without knowing it. That's why suffering within suffering. And the next one is suffering due to unsatisfactoriness of condition. The mental sankhara. The Buddha called this sankhara dukkata. Means suffering that arises due to your mental activity, your thinking, your emotion. So this is due to your wrong view, self-delusion, avijja, ignorance. They condition you to think negatively with the evil root. Then you attach, you cling, you grasp, you hold. That's why whatever suffering that comes about through your sankhara activity is termed as sankhara dukkata. So this is suffering due to unsatisfactoriness of condition arising entity or condition state. Then the last one is caused by change. They call it viparinama dukkata. Because according to the Buddha, everything is impermanent. Hence, it's unsatisfactory. It will lead to pain and all those things. And if one cannot accept this reality or this universal characteristics of impermanent, then you wanting your way, then suffering will arise. We are wanting things your way. So this one, suffering due to chain, is like what the Buddha asks you to reflect. Number four. Yeah? What is the fourth daily contemplation? Whatever there is, you're supposed to reflect every day, you cannot remember. Ah, that is mine. Ah, Kye Hun now understand. Very good. Ah, whatever that is mine, beloved, and? Ah, they were separate from you. Huh? How they separate? Either your breath stop, no more. Or their breath stop, or something happened to them. Understand? No? Sometimes they got angry with you. Misunderstanding, then separate. Relationship failure, huh? They get angry, they run away from you, your children. Your spouse want to divorce you. There is separation, understand? No? Then due to poverty, forced separation, you have to sell your kid. Then sometimes due to certain type of society's rule, forced separation, understand? No? Like during the olden day, during war, what happened? The army, the soldier, they come, they grab your thing, they take your children. They take everything, understand? And they do all sorts of nonsense. Then like Kuwait, Iraq war, I told you, overnight, you lost everything. Your sovereignty, everything is gone. So when conditions change, it's separate from you. So separation is a reality. Do not think that you really own. You cannot own. When there is condition for you to own, in name, you own. But when condition ceases, you never own anything. The truth is, you come nothing, you go nothing, you cannot own anything. All these are temporary. Like my teacher, Chan Yantra, say, temporary yours. After that, your body also don't belong to you. How can all these things belong to you? Because your entity is impermanent, dependent, originating, condition arising. So he always say, don't be foolish. Then he always say, live the life of a monk, simple, means renounce. But he never say you must be a monk in the robe, understand not? He said you must be a monk, means a real monk. You know what he told me or not? The monk is not in the robe. If the robe make you a monk, I put the robe on the tree, what happened to the tree? And the tree also become monk. How can the tree become monk? So he said the monk is inside. What is inside? Your virtue, your quality, your understanding. Ah, that is the real samana. That's why after I heard that, I feel very good. Means you can be a samana, a true practitioner, a true cultivator. You don't have to wear anything to symbolize what are you. If you hold the truth, if you hold the dhamma, if you hold the quality in you, you are a samana. You understand? Yeah? Otherwise you wouldn't learn, I tell you. So these are all the beautiful understanding, I hope it will help you. So this third type of suffering is very important. Everything is subject to change, separation, everything. So when things change, things will evolve, go the way of nature, like your physical body. So when you understand, you have to learn to develop the wisdom to come to terms with this reality, to be at peace with whatever happened. And then no more problem. You understand? It's just so simple. Huh? Very good. sadhu. sadhu. That's how you learn. So all these are stated in the book on page 43 of The Buddha's Ancient Path by Piyadasi. But he didn't explain it this way. He explained it the Theravada way, which is slightly different. Then there's one more dukkha that they didn't write here. You know what is that dukkha or not? I also don't know what name to give it. The very fine suffering that arise just before your mundane mind collapse. Or before you realize enlightenment. That fine suffering, I told you earlier on, you become so sensitive. Even the moment of consciousness, the arising of the conscious mind to be aware or to be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile with you and think is suffering. And that suffering is so fine. If you can feel that, means your mindfulness is very, very fine, very stable, and you are very sensitive. Then during that time, your mundane mind will cease. Because there is this understanding, no point to know something that is suffering inside. Even to be at the moment of feeling, that feeling is still very gross. Inside there is this fine suffering, even within feeling. You can't find true peace within feeling. There is an agony of mind. And without wisdom, condition into craving very fast. Then even the perception, the very moment that the mind want to be aware of it or conscious of it, there is suffering inside, very fine. Then the activity of mind works. When the sankhara start to move, you can feel the suffering, the fine suffering. Yeah. And because of that, the mind just understand, no point. Think also like that, don't think also like that. You want to suffer, go and think, go and use the mind, go and perceive, go and do all these funny things. That's why during that time, the mind become very subtle, very sensitive. And that type of suffering is not mentioned here. So that one may be the out of the ordinary one, super mundane one. That's why it was not written. Then we go on. Viparinama dukkha comes under the category of unsatisfactoriness due to impermanence. All the pleasant and happy feeling that man can experience will fade away and disappear. As the Buddha say, even the feeling that a yogi or a meditator experience by attaining the four meditative absorption or form jhana come under the category of viparinama dukkha. You know why? They are impermanent. The jhana come and go. When there is no more condition, gone. Then when they are very old, very weak, they don't have the energy to create that type of jhana or to be in that state. They lose it. That's why they have suffering. So this one come under category of viparinama dukkha too. Because they are transient, impermanent, lead to suffering and subject to change. But the dukkha mentioned here is certainly not the pain and suffering that people in general endure. But the Buddha points out, what the Buddha points out is that all things impermanent are unsatisfactory. They suffer change every moment, and this change brings about unsatisfactoriness. For whatever is impermanent is unsatisfactory. This is the Pali word. Yang yada anicchang, ya anicchang, tam dukkhang. Whatever that is impermanent is unsatisfactory. Yeah. That is, there is no lasting bliss. That's why I say whatever sensual pleasure that arises is a prelude to suffering is because of this. Because it will change. It will be gone when condition is gone. It will change. And when it changes, you attach, you suffer. There's affliction. So sensual pleasure is a prelude to suffering. So when you experience them, you better have the mindfulness to be sensitive and aware. You can't attach. You can experience it, no problem. But you don't attach. Don't be foolish. Don't want it repeated. And forever there. Part 3, meditation. As always emphasized by Brother Teo, right understanding and right view are very important. If one lacks this, the word off should be cancelled off. Then how can one progress along the path of Dhamma? You understand? No right view how to meditate, how to act. Cannot. So this is a question. If one lacks this, then how can one progress along the path of Dhamma? Which is very true. So according to the Buddha, the first noble Eightfold Path Factor is Samadhi, right view. Without this right view, you cannot proceed with the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because if your view is wrong, or your views are wrong, then what happens? Your thought will be also wrong. Then as thought and mental intention condition the way you speak and act, and the way you live your life, then all of the other subsequent path factor of right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood will be wrong. So all this is very obvious. Hence, it is important to have right view or right understanding as the first path factor within Noble Eightfold Path. Then the three right views with regards to the spiritual law that governs life and existence are very important. They are the law of karma, the law of mind, the law of truth. And the law of truth, the most important one is the Four Noble Truths. Because all the essential Dhamma spin off from here. Yeah. All his teaching come from Four Noble Truths. You go and check anything, any part is spin off from here. That's why it's called the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Nature's truth. Anything that can explain the way things are is the truth. The Buddha advised via Dhammapada verse 183 to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Comes from this first right view with regards to law of karma. According to the Buddha, each and every one of us is born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma, which is also one of the five daily contemplation that the monks are told to reflect daily. Hence the importance of taking care of one's karma, where your entire life depends on it. How do we take care of karma? That's why this has been repeatedly emphasized. We need to train our mind to be, you are not mindful, you cannot see, you cannot understand. Ever mindful or heedful of our mental intention, so that our actions, speech and thoughts are always right and appropriate to avoid all the negativity of karma. We are keeping our precepts and cultivating their ennoblers. This will enable us to heed the first two advice of the Buddha. And the third advice is to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness to purify one's mind, to liberate your mind, to develop wisdom. Question 2. When we are on the wrong path, we are having wrong view, how can we come out of it? This is a good question. So you listen to the answer. This is a very good question. Now you can understand the great wisdom of Lord Buddha in teaching us how to make sure that we won't have wrong view or follow the wrong path. We are following his advice to sincerely cultivate the below important cultivation and aspiration. Now you understand why the Buddha is so wise. What did he advise you to do? Take refuge. Yeah. Can you remember or not? The first puja, chant your salutation, take refuge. This is the only refuge safe now. Only within this triple gem you can find the teaching, you know, to liberate your mind. You know. Somehow you don't want to take refuge. And you don't want to know what are they. You take refuge without knowing what the Buddha is, what the Dhamma and the Sangha is for what. That's why you chant the salutation of the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, our morning chanting, evening chanting, and our invitation to the Devas, invocation to the Devas to join us. He recites the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha so that you won't go wrong. So that you know these are refuge safe. And what are these? Because when you cultivate and you don't get this type of result, means this is not the teaching of the Buddha. This is not the Dhamma that the Buddha talked about. And when you have the understanding or the quality, the nine great virtues of the Buddha, your faith is unshakable. Your spiritual faculty becomes very strong. And you establish affinity when you take refuge. That's why this is what you must do. Taking the three refuge, yes, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, with very strong faith and sincerity, via understanding is important. There is no other refuge safe except in the Triple Gem, where the Four Noble Truths can be found to realize enlightenment. This is in Dhammapada verse. I must thank MV, she found it out. Verse 190, 91, and 92. It's written inside there. Then the second one is to make the aspiration by reciting Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo ho tu yawa nivana patiya. Every day, end of the day, when we share merit, transfer merit, we make this aspiration. What is the meaning? Yeah? To invoke the power of merit to establish one's nature, to avoid all and heal us, and meet up with the wise and enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. That's why the Buddha teach you how to do. And all this is in the puja, in the teaching. Every day when you go through the Buddhist training, cultivation, ceremony, the Dhamma study or whatever, or practice, even retreat or what, your merit is beyond what you can think. One moment of respect, reverential salutation, you do it sincerely to the Buddha, no? Limitless merits, understand? No? You can never imagine. That's why you must have faith. You must do it sincerely, with understanding. Then all this merit you invoke for causes and conditions to avoid the foolish, then it will come. But you must develop the understanding of who are the foolish, understand? No? You make aspiration, you don't want to know who are the foolish. Then every life you come, happy-go-lucky, follow them. Yeah, you make aspiration, just like they say, they make aspiration to meet Maitreya Buddha next time. But they forgot to make aspiration to recognize who is Maitreya. So how to meet? You meet the Maitreya that your thought tell you, understand? Laughing Buddha. Oh, that fellow look like laughing Buddha. I must follow him. You go, huh? That's why don't be foolish. That's why the Buddha specifically say, heedless. The foolish means the fools. Don't have the Dhamma, don't understand. So you must know who they are. Those people that are heedless, if you have the Dhamma, you will know. You look, you will know already. And they indulge in what? All the activity they do lead to downfall. They go late night. They gamble, they drink, they drunk themselves, understand? They fight, they argue, they commit adultery, they rob. These are the heedless people, foolish people, who are not scared of karma, because they don't know what is karma. They only believe in what they can get immediately, the immediate benefit. Whereas the wise one, you also must have the wisdom to see them, understand? When you make this aspiration, the wise one pass by you also you don't know. And you look for what? You are not looking for a wise one. You look for title. And I say, wow, they say this one got PhD one. And this one, very famous. Oh, he has been teaching how many? You go by this, your vow will not take off. Understand? When you want to make this aspiration, to avoid the foolish, you must make sure you know who are the foolish, what constitute heedlessness and foolishness. Then who are the wise ones? Who are the wise ones? Salutation to the Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. What conduct do they have? You see they are very righteous, upright. Then they have good conduct. They are very sincere, very kind, full of love, full of virtue, full of wisdom and understanding. That's like of good conduct, of wise conduct, of upright conduct. And the last one is what? They do their duty. They don't simply do things. They have fellow piety. They have this type of appreciation when they are given food, offering. Because they themselves must make sure they are worthy of the offering. So all this you can see. If they lack this quality, then you know they are not the real wise one. The real wise one conduct themselves very well. You know why they conduct themselves very well? Because they have the embodiment of what? What is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? Huh? Noble Eightfold Path. They have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. Means what? They have right view. They have wisdom. Then, they have right thought. They have right speech, right action. Right livelihood. The four right effort always there to improve themselves. They are very mindful, aware. Their mind is very collected, unwavering. These are the qualities. So what is Noble Eightfold Path? You need Noble Eightfold Path to live life. Do you know that? Without right view, how can you live life? You sure make mistake. Then when you live life, what must you do? You must arise your thought, isn't it? You must perform action, isn't it? You must deliver speech, isn't it? So you must know how to carry yourself, conduct yourself. So if you don't have all this, how can you be the wise one? That's how you look. Whether they have all this quality or not. Whether they constantly arise the four right effort to improve themselves, to conduct themselves in such a manner where they have right thought. Arising from right view. Then the way they speak, the thought that they radiate, they emit. Then you have cultivated, you become sensitive. You can feel them. Their energy, their vibration, their wisdom, their understanding. You can feel. That's why the moment I approach somebody, I can feel. If they have the Dhamma, they have more understanding than me, I will know. That's why I will learn from them. The moment I go near, I can feel already. But for you, what do you feel? Wow, pretty. Wow, can be my girlfriend or not. That one you feel. That, wow, good food. I think I must make friends with this guy. He always go to this style of nice restaurant. He got money. Huh? You can feel all this type of people. It's your greed. It's not what you feel. Your craving, your desire. That's why you don't cultivate. You use your mundane mind and all these funny things come in. And you somehow say, pretty, I also can feel, you know. When I see this girl, somehow I got feeling one, no. I got this feeling for her. So how? Then some lady will say, when I see this man, wow, like Hong Li Hong. Wow, heart also melt. Got feeling. That one is not spiritual cultivation. That one is mundane by telling you story. So please. Okay, I have to end already. Okay, question 3, we finish. You reap what you sow. Yeah, this question is very good. So can this karma be experienced in this very life? What do you think? Depend lah. If you are a cultivator, immediate one, like I tell you when I young, immediately do wrong, immediately the fruit chain show it to me. But if you don't cultivate one, it won't happen one. Because you don't believe, understand not? Then you keep on telling people one. You heard of this, a lot of people tell me. But you sometimes I doubt the Dhamma. No? Why? Those people who steal, rob, they are doing very well. No, drive big car, no, got driver, got what they call, what those who protect that one call what? Bodyguard. No, I say, that is what you think. Then go and be like them. Go and rob, go and deceive, go corrupt money, or see what happened to you. When the karmic hasn't had the condition to come out, they appear like very powerful. Do you know? All those that fall, Marcos, what, Sukarno or Suharto, all this. When they're very powerful, you cannot go near them in there. When they are weak, what happened? Everybody desert them. Then they kena, understand or not? Because no condition, nothing happened. Karma is like that. You cannot see just outwardly, understand? Because your limited mundane mind will tell you all this. So what are you trying to tell me is, actually act like them, not bad. Understand? You see all the corrupt people, oh yo, their bungalow so nice. They only government servant, no, how can they afford this? Ayo, they join political party lah. Well, then you want to join also. Then how they come out? Go for branch chairman first lah. Then after that, divisional leader, chairman. Then after that, delegate, then central committee member. You go for politics not to serve the people and the country, to serve yourself. That type of karmic, I tell you, you know how you pay back or not? The Chinese got this saying, zhou ngao zhou ma, for many, many lives. Understand? Because last time you corrupt money, cheat people, you take people. Now, you become animal. Animal means what? You call it the buffalo. The buffalo work very hard, no pay. Understand? Not? Then, you don't listen to the owner, what they do? They whack you. Last time you do this to people, understand? Now, this thing, when got condition, you become buffalo. But as a buffalo, you don't know you have been made use of. No? And you don't know you're very powerful, you big size. No? But because they hold your nose, no? Your nose very sensitive. No? You try to be funny, they pull. You quickly listen. Really. It's just like when you're powerful as a politician. You take advantage of all these people down there because they are normal citizens. They got no power. There are a lot of things they cannot control. Then you become buffalo, you same lah, they pull you. Understand? Then you cannot. So karma is not what you think. So when you understand, you are very, very different. So now you know how to look for the correct sign. What constitutes heedless, what constitutes delusion, foolish, then who are the wise? Can understand already or not? Yes. Angie. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I thought Angie wanted to ask questions. You said yes. the mic. For the recording. The mic, Angie. Yes.
Brother Teo.
Yes.
But there's so many people from other religion. Yeah. They are doing things which are just the opposite, you know, and they haven't suffered any consequence yet. Will they?
Wait. Can you give me some example? I want to know. What religion people do funny thing and never suffer? I think that religion, you should have a look at it.
Well, I mean, for example, those militants, those IS people, they probably have been brainwashed or
correct.
But they have that kind of destructive nature and
you know why? Because of the greed. They are promised. They say, after you do that, you become what? Martyr. You know what is a martyr? You become a hero, no? You glorify that religion, no? Then what happened? They reward you with what? How many virgin up there?
Seven
generation, not seven virgin. Seven generation of virgin. Ayo. Then I saw one joke, the cartoon. After they do, they make a joke. Really go up, no? Really virgin, no? You know what virgin? Bungly. So these are the jokes. If you don't understand, you got wrong view, it doesn't immune you, no? It's just like I say, you go and rob the bank, then after that you caught by the police, then they charge you, then you got death sentence. I didn't know got death sentence, no. If I know, I won't rob, man. I won't use weapon, man. No. You think you will be free from the law? The judge will say, okay, first time, free you. They got such thing. Mandatory death sentence, you use weapon or drug, death sentence. So the law is the law, like neutral wire. He doesn't want to find out whether you are virtuous or not. You mean the live wire say you virtuous, you touch, not insulated, he won't electrocute you. They got such thing. So nature's law is nature's law. If you do wrong thing, you know what is their retribution. We use the word retribution. Very severe. Because you do this to people, you know what happened? Next time you come, you become the victim. People brainwash you and ask you to do the same thing. Then you cannot in hell for how long? Even what Angulimala did, the Buddha already said. He said, endure. Broken head with blood dripping. No. The Buddha said, endure. This will save you from the thousands of years or maybe tens of thousands of years in hell. the suffering. Because you don't see through karma, you don't understand, you don't have the nature to understand. Then you believe, oh, these people, after destroy all these things, do all these funny things, some of 7 generations up there enjoying life. This is what you think. Your thought will tell you. These are the media that. So that's why they can become gullible. They can go and do all this. So when you don't lack wisdom, it becomes delusion, it becomes avijja, it's very dangerous. Understand, Angie? Doesn't mean it don't happen. Like I said, when there is no condition, you see like they still enjoy life. Like all those who take advantage of people become very corrupted. And do all those funny things. Like those who underground one. They sell drugs, they push drugs. They get involved with prostitution, all those things. And you see them having a lot of this dirty money. And yet they're so powerful. They got bodyguard, they got people who work for them, they got nice bungalow. You think they're very happy. They got so much fear, that's why they need bodyguard everywhere. Then off and on you see in the paper, for no reason, assassin come and shoot them, kill them. I think Klang, Teheno, and Brother Kim Chuan, yeah, Brother Gan. So many cases in Klang. Yeah, Kevin. The man who commit all this.
The man commit all this. So the wife is virtuous.
Oh, then the wife pray for him.
Does it work?
Definitely lah. If the wife sincere want to help, like this morning, Suyan just told me. Where is Suyan? He said one clan girl, Vivian, told her about a very severe happening. He said one of these lady. Alison, you all know. You know what happened, Suyan told me. They were on the NKV highway. MyV tire punctured. So the son was a doctor changing tire. So the father thought to protect the son, he parked the car about 10 meters behind him. So he thought the son would be safe. He cut out his car first. Understand or not? And you know what happened? It seemed the lorry come. Banged the father. Died. Then after that, hit the son, also died. Then the daughter fractured, wounded in the hospital. And this is real, I tell you. You play a fool with karma. So now, it seems the wife or the mother, because after he met Suyan, luckily that day, before they come out, consecration is there. Well, so he advised her to make offering, that what the golden ball. Was it the golden ball? He make offering, transfer merit. It helps, understand or not? But you have to be sincere, related. But no point, understand or not? Because they don't take care of karma first. So happen already, cry and help. I mean, no harm, because this is goodness. This kind of, they are related to you. You have a duty, understand or not? You can help, you help. That's why you are Kayanamita, you're very lucky. You go to that rhyme, Peta rhyme, where you cannot work, cannot get money, cannot get anything. You only depend on what? Idang menya tinang ho tu. You got Dhamma Freda, every day you receive. Because they are every day too. Understand? That's why Dhamma friend a lot of advantage. You got no worry when you go down to that Peta Rai. But then why do you want to go down to Peta Rai and wait for Kayamita to transfer that merits to you? Understand? Kayamita very friendly one. Don't know also, not related also. Idang menya tinang ho tu. So you have to understand, more important is your own cultivation when you are on this earth, when you have this precious human life. Don't wait till you die already, depend on relative, depend on good friend. You are not Kayamita, you depend on who, I don't know. Maybe Lamolo or the medium and all those things. So don't worry, take care karma, everything take care. Don't take care karma, susah. Taiwan, Queenie can tell you. Taiwan means what? Big what? Big bowl. Big problem. But the walk is what? It's a walk, yeah, walk, W-O-K, right? Walk, right? So big walk means what? A lot of food. a lot of money, yeah? Go. But that one is for problem. They say, one walk of problem come to you. Okay, we finish off. It depends on which chetina or determining thought moment the karma is being committed. This one is in Abhidhamma. Yeah? And also in the Buddha's teaching. There are 7 thought moments when you make decision. Do you know? Chetina, mental intention. So the mental intention, if fall on the first, is immediately effective, this life. If this life no condition, gone. Then the 7th thought moment, got condition, next life, it take effect. No condition, the first and the last, you are safe. It won't last forever. But the Buddha say the 2nd thought moment, until the 6th, it will be there forever. Forever means what? Whenever there is condition, even eons and eons later, it will manifest. That is how serious it is. So every time, don't go and pray, I make on the 1st thought moment, or the 7th thought moment, then I say, most of the time, the chances is 2nd to 6th, very common. Why? To hit the last one, very difficult. To hit the first one, also very difficult. But in between, very high chance. So don't play a fool with karma. Then I read this one, you will know. According to the Abhidhamma, there are 7 determining thought moments or chetina or mental intention to condition karma. And if it happened during the first determining thought moment, then it's only effective this life if there is condition for it to arise. Otherwise, it will cease to be. Similarly, the 7th thought moment is only effective after the next life if there is condition for it to arise. But those occurring between the 2nd and the 6th determining thought moment will be around at all times. So the answer is, it is possible to experience them even in this lifetime, just like how you reap the result of your hard work while studying and later on working in this life. So if you really diligent, you put in effort, you become successful in your study. Then if you really work towards your career, you will be successful in your career. You can see or not, cause and effect. Cause and effect. If you heedless, neglect yourself, then you don't study. You come out, your opportunity is less, understand not? Without a proper degree, without a proper qualification, your possibility of getting a job is more difficult. But then a lot of people blessing in this guy, like Lim Kau Tong, not educated, come with only one belt and one short pant. But he becomes Tan Sri and own Genting, the listed vehicle and all things. How? Because he worked very hard, understand not? Despite his handicap, he need to compensate for it. That's why he worked very hard. And he used his basic Hokkien. And when he want to translate to Bahasa, the reporter also opening. He said, God mea pasai. You remember the SS road collapse and the problem in Genting? He said, Tohan mea pasai. He blamed heaven. And they reported it. Then Tan Sri Hani, I think one of the board of directors, come on and help him to talk. See? Because he got his parami. He got dana parami, which you don't know. If you are not educated, not hardworking, you better have dana parami. Otherwise, you get yourself into bigger trouble. But you don't have dana parami yet, you want to be a hero, don't want to study, don't want to work hard. You see how you end up. They say, fan kai, sleep along the roadside, and become beggar. Okay, finish. Yeah? Yeah. What happened? Oh, the money is at the back. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
About studying, is there such a thing as dana parami that the child brings along to study? Or there are some kids who
just... Dana parami, where got related to study? Dana parami is your generosity. You get back what you give, understand?
But
you listen. If you give scholarship, if you are generous, you give scholarship, you want people to study, you want to help them, that one can help you in your education. You come born into, like they say, what type of karmic, what type of retribution already. Yeah? The first type. Huh? You're where your DNA and where you are born on. You born in a poor family, your parents cannot support you, but you got this type of parami. You give scholarship before. Yeah? You help people who are in need for financial to get their higher tertiary education. Ah, you don't worry. People will hand the scholarship to you. Understand? You will receive them. But it won't help you to study. Understand? It will give you the means to go for the study. Understand?
But there are kids who cannot study.
That is because they don't have generosity. Understand? They cannot study means what?
But I thought kids who you teach today, tomorrow okay, next day forget.
There got like that. Oh, it depends on your karma. Understand? Some born retarded. Why? It's because of their karma. When you are born, the Buddha say what? You are born of your So if your karma has this type of negativity, the DNA come also like that. Understand? Or? There's like some, they call what? Got problem one. What do you call? Retarded. Oxidism. Yeah, that is the right word. And I got one Dhamma friend. She got such kindness. She's an accountant now. After she retired, she started a school and teach all these type of children. I said, "But Teo, I somehow know I got this ability to teach these type of children and make them normal again." And she's operating the school. She was my first best student. She's one of the good ones. She's the one that told me, he said, "Brother Teo, now the world, I got no problem. The only problem I have is that two monkeys I have at home. The two children, they create hell for me." He said, "They are my best teacher." Because he cannot scold them, he cannot do all those things. And yet, they are her children. He said, then he tell me, "Brother Teo, if I tell you, you won't believe it. These two monkeys, I tell you." See? And he has this kind heart. So if you have this good parami, in future when you come, you have this distant past type of karmic thing that can give you the DNA coding to be an autism child. You don't worry one. Got teacher come and teach you one. Understand? That's why you must have all this karmic inheritance. You don't have how. To be good at study, you know what must you do? You must be diligent, committed to study, like to study. Like those talented in music, what they do? They train very hard. Like this life, my nature come, I know what is important. That's why I'm very good in math, science, geography. Then I can become an engineer. And that's the profession I want because it's the best profession for my nature. I can contribute and help a lot. As an engineer, a lot of things you design, you come out with, is of great benefit to humanity, living being and society. Even this life, I contributed so much. You know what is the definition of engineer? Yeah? Oh, you ought to know. Engineer is a great profession. But I don't know about other discipline for civil engineer. We make use of the resources of nature to come out with projects, design and all those things, for the comfort of humanity and mankind. Correct or not? The building I build, the highway I build, and all the various type of projects is for the benefit of humanity and mankind. So, if you are not a serious, sincere, genuine, good engineer, you get yourself into trouble. You got out of what they call selfishness. You do. You shortchange people. You simply do things. You didn't supervise properly. You didn't design properly. I tell you, got karmic one. So if you cause people to die because of your design failure, you know what is that? Professional liability. We all don't have such thing. Defect liability period over. No more problem. Nothing to do with you. But people who don't know, they think that way. That is defect, no. Structural collapse and building failure is not a defect, no. It's a design disaster, a negligence, no. And you are responsible for life. There's a Highland Tower, after so many years collapsed, the engineer was charged. Do you know or not? That's why I don't want to be a professional engineer. I never take that title. But I have to sign plan. Understand or not? Sometimes not due to you, because our discipline, our profession is, sometimes we design, we don't get to supervise the job, no. Do you understand? And who supervise? Technician. Site supervisor, form 5 fellow. That fellow can be bought one, no. Understand or not? Then, the consultant, the engineer, just sign. That's why you have to go to the ground. All the project I take charge, I tell my boss or whoever who hired me, I say, you want me to be in charge? I do things differently. If I'm not involved, I don't want to do. I don't want to sign. I involve, I sign. Then I do. That should be your duty, your responsibility. You're responsible to society, to people. You mean good. You really do what you want to do. And this is what you must have to take care of karma. Understand? Otherwise, your thought is always, ayo, I think I have contractor help me. Lu help me, I help you. Cannot. The world is upside down. Understand? Then when I was in charge of maintenance, I turned the madhouse into a perfect order. I have so many, until all those people like me so much. Then the talk go on. Wow, this engineer very good. Everything also can count him. There was one day, the flood came. Then the whole bridge, the embankment behind the bridge, the whole thing collapsed, 20 over feet cavity there. Then the traffic all cannot pass. Then what happened? My TA, my security guard, the university all panic. Then everybody say die already. The ring road have to close for at least 6 months or 9 months. Then they contacted me. Then I went back. It happened on the weekend. So Monday I go, I have a look. I say, okay, I will prepare a very urgent tender. And within less than 1 week, I finish it. I did everything back. Then everybody surprised. How come the engineer can do so fast? No need to hire a consultant. Well, I know what happened. So, then the best joke is, many, many months later, when I was on Chinese New Year leave, another quite similar case happened. No? But this time it's not a bridge. No? There's a cupboard down there. No? Then because of something else, there was a sinkhole up there also. So this TA thought, Tio buat macam ni. So he do the same as me, you know. Then after that, you know what happened? Luckily, the security guard, the pengarah, keselamatan, he very smart, no? He said, jalan ni tak boleh buka. Tunggu engineer balik. Well, luckily he did that, no? So by the time I came back, he took me and have a look, no? He also surprised, no? How come the cavity come back, no? Then I told him, this is not the same problem, as well. Because I go and check both, and I saw a long cupboard underneath there. No? Then I say, there's movement. The joint must have failed. That's why all the loss of fine went in. It become another problem. Then I order the contractor, get the excavator, excavate. I excavated down almost 20 feet. People thought, what is going on? Oh. Then only he saw. The cupboard really failed. The joint failed. Oh, you have to meditate already. So what I did was, I opened up that place, I cleaned up that place, then I put metal sheet to seal up that hole. Then I concrete it back. Then after that, I say, you can fill back with earth. Then the pengarah keselamatan, no more doubt. No. Engineer say, buka. No problem. That's why you don't understand, you will do the wrong thing. Without understanding, you do the wrong thing. You cannot copy. That's why I say, don't quote me and don't copy me. Understand what I do, then you will know how to do. Understand? Okay, meditate. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, okay. Ayo, you left less than half an hour to meditate. Wow, you are really untung banyak.